Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Madeline Reynolds. Palabolas, in their own words, is a rebellious dance company created in 1971 at Dartmouth College. Palabolas is currently on tour with Recreation, which brings their celebrated collection of repertory to audiences across the country. On Saturday, May 3rd, Palabolas will be at the Mahewy Theater in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. Palabolas has created and toured over 120 pieces to more than 65 countries. Palabolas has been awarded with many prestigious honors, including a 2012 Grammy nomination, Primetime Emmy Award for Outstanding Achievement in Cultural Programming, a TED Fellowship, and several Cane Lion Awards at the International Festival of Creativity. In 2015, Palabolas was also named one of Dance Heritage Coalition's Irreplaceable Dance Treasures. We are joined by Matt Kent, the artistic director, also a former dancer with the company, Darian Lohman, artistic associate, also a former dancer with the company, and Jessica Roebling, a company dancer. They will be at the Mahewy Theater on Saturday, May 3rd. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me. How are you all?
Doing great. Really looking forward to it. Excited to be here. Thanks for having us.
So can you tell us what Palabolas is and what this Recreation Tour is about? And if you could give us a little history, why don't we start off with Matt and then Darian, you can follow up.
Sure. So Palabolas is a legacy dance company. We were started at Dartmouth College by four guys and that came out of an elective gym class, which was a dance class taught by Allison Chase. And then Martha Clark joined the company later. So that was 50 something years ago. And here we are still here. And we're in our second generation of artistic directors. So I and my partner, Renee Jaworski, who's also our executive director, have taken the reins, and now we're looking into the future with people like Darian and Jess. This collection of pieces that we're touring around the country and around the world, they just got back from Cyprus, encapsulated by this title, Recreation, which is spelled as, like, we like to have our fun with puns. So this is really about recreating work that's legacy work, that's classic, that's vintage work. But it's also a play on the word of, like, it's about creation, and it is also about having fun and playing. All of those things are really important to Palabolas. We believe in this sort of the energy that comes from play, the innovation that can come from play when your stress hormones are kind of less. So we're all trying to have a good time, but we're very serious about it. A lot of times people talk about remounting works that have been done in the past or restaging, and you know, all of those terms, they always feel like they're not quite sufficient, because these are like living, these dances aren't like you just get to do the steps somebody did back then and it all works. Because they're such an ensemble, when you see Palabolas, you'll see a kind of storytelling and kind of images that unfold that have to do not only with the movement, but the relationship between people. And so that's why we feel that like they have to play and recreate that experience that the piece is sort of standing for every night on stage and have that in front of people.
Right. Especially because as new members come into the company, the way Matt and I might perform something together isn't the same way that Jessica and I would perform it together. So you're constantly rediscovering and re-exploring what the piece means to you every night. And as new cast members roll into the company, Palabolas is named after a little fungus. It's a little mushroom. And it's one of the fastest accelerating organic organisms. So when it's ripe and it's ready and shoots its spore, it goes super fast. So it's this little athletic mushroom. And we thought, you know, one of the founding members' fathers was studying it in his lab. And they decided that over, what was it, Vermont National Dance Theater?
Yeah, Vermont National Theater. I think that was in the running, you know. When they were looking, they were a group of artists without a name. You know, Palabolas won, and we're so grateful because it sounds cool and it looks cool. And we love this little mushroom.
Jessica, I would love for you to tell us in your own words what genre of dance that Palabolas performs. And can you give examples of maybe some dance moves and how you train for it? And do you have any favorites? Mm.
Ooh. What genre is Palabolas is always the best question to ask, because there is no genre like it. I would also say there was nothing that could really prepare me for this other than just diving in and being open-minded and ready to tackle it all. like Darian was saying, very athletic, definitely in the world of modern dance. But because of the storytelling and the theatrics about it, it's just so transformative for the audience and for the dancers. Coming in, I was very much trying to just pick up the steps and basically be a dance robot. But as I've continued to perform and put myself into the piece and even allow myself to play, I guess I've been introduced to a different Jessica doing this work too.
Something that is really special that is happening, which is that at the Mahewi performances, you will be debuting Palabolas's interpretation of Martha Graham's seminal piece, Lamentation. Could any of you describe this piece and why you were putting that on the stage?
Yeah, so the original piece with Martha Graham, she actually speaks a lot about it. It's one of the signature works of their company. And, you know, typically we are embodying a feeling and things like that on stage as dancers and performers. And this piece was no different. She is embodying the feeling of lament or lamentation, to lament something. So it's not necessarily something happened to her as a character. So then the really interesting thing that gets to happen is the Graham Company sends this out and asks people to create a variation, and it's a choreographic response to Martha's original work. So they're giving you kind of free rein to create your version of Lamentation, and they really just want it to be exactly that, a response of how you feel after watching this piece. So the guidelines for it were even like, Martha dances in this tube in the piece, like it's this fabric tube. And when they were telling us what we had to do or what the requirements were for doing a variation, they were like, you don't even necessarily have to use a tube. It just has to be what you felt after watching this piece, which I think is an interesting thing because we don't do that often in dance. Like musicians will sample another person's music and then use it in theirs or do a remix of somebody else's thing so they can show their vision of what that could be. And it's something in dance where we've run into the space where it's like this almost never happens. So it's a really unique and interesting opportunity.
My next question is to Matt and Darian as well. In my bios, I mentioned that you both previously danced with the company. Matt, you're the artistic director, and Darian, you're the associate artistic for Palabolas. You both were dancers. So how does this help you in your current position that you now have and inform your creativity, maybe thinking about creating new pieces and choreography and such?
Oh, that's a great question.
Yeah.
Because the work of Palabolas, the partnering work, is so unusual. Like, we're just good at it, you know, and it's taken years and years of developing this technique. And, you know, now it's used out in the wider world. If I hadn't had, or Darian hadn't had the experience of performing, I mean, he's still jumping up on stage and performing with the company, but it informs us in the tactics of how to get something done. So sometimes it's a double-edged sword. It's good to be able to, like, okay, I know how they can do this. And so you kind of know what is possible. But because we're also bringing new dancers in and they're sort of have free reign, we're also always looking for the like, oh, but there's that. Like, I haven't seen that before. So we're kind of doing both things. But that information that you have in your body, because dance is an oral tradition and it doesn't really work to talk about it. Having done it just changes everything. And it's kind of hard to, I mean, you're pointing over here at me, like nodding along, because it's almost hard to put into words.
Yeah. I mean, again, what Matt is saying, like this knowledge over the time of dancing in the company just accumulates within your body. And it gets to the point where, like, even if you haven't danced a particular work, your body can understand how to solve the problem because of all the previous knowledge you have within you.
Jessica, as a dancer, performing that emotion, meaning, and story of a dance, thinking about that process, how do you do that? Do you put emphasis on, you know, specific articulations of movements and, like, you know, moving your finger a certain way? Like, this is things I think about and I feel like every dancer thinks about.
Yeah, every piece is a little different. Sometimes it's about feelings So, like for Bloodlines, for example, is a women's duet between myself and Hannah. And it's about the reciprocal nature of caregiving as you become older. And parents, we grow up and they take care of us. And hopefully we are get to have that privilege to take care of them as we get older. And whenever I'm doing the piece, I see Hannah, but then I also see multiple people in my life that I would want to take care of. And so certain positions, certain hold grips that I have with her, just like the way we caress each other, I feel more and more is shown to the audience. I definitely feel like I've been an onion that is slowly unpeeling. And then for other pieces, sometimes I really have to tap into the visual aspect of it, of the world that we've created, and remind myself, what am I looking at? What am I actually? I'm not just like looking across the audience. No, I'm visualizing what this dungeon door office
In the murky
in
depths of
the,
the
yeah.
underworld. I'll tell you, Jess, it's like, do you remember we were working on a piece in Darian and I were, and Renee, we were talking about some details. And like, for example, when you say that dungeon, you say that because the dancers have a shared intersubjective reality. So like, we are seeing things that aren't really there, that we are all pretending in the same way that are there. And the wild thing is when your bodies move a certain way, the overlap in our shared vision is so great that they are able to, and Jess will make a decision in real time at the show, like a dynamic game time decision where she might react a different way and her partner will and things like that. There'll be subtle things. It's not like the choreography changes, but the way that you can do that is because I believe is because you're in this intersubjective reality where you already know the answer. Like, you're like, well, I can't do that because there's a freaking murky monster over there. And that one's got fog, so I wouldn't go that way, you know. And it's all kind of make-believe, but it's like,
It is, but if you tap into the make-believe, then it's not
Then it becomes real.
accepting the play. That really helped me in terms of like trying not to pretend to do the thing, but just doing the thing.
So in this tour, some of your program is beloved pieces of your repertoire, but one that I really took interest into is because I really like this story, and I won't reveal what the story is. I'll let you guys reveal it. It is the dance piece Tales from the Underworld, and the story is quite famous and known. What is Palobulus's interpretation of this story and some of the key aspects you bring to bring the story to life?
The first thing I'll say, Madeline, is that its title is Tales from the Underworld, not, you know, it's plural. And I didn't even think about it so much until you know, we premiered the piece and someone said, like, oh, I saw all of the stories. And I was like, right. So we're looking at Norse mythology, and of course, it's like everybody, it's great. So we're, you know, this started with Orpheus and Eurydice and Persephone and just all of these stories of people that go down into the underworld. And well, we don't know if they come back or not. Like, different stories have different endings, right? So, but one of the twists is that in this tale, it's not Orpheus going down into the underworld, it's Jess. So we sort of flipped the script a little bit.
I mean, I feel like that it this kind of ties back to one of your questions before, where when I was first learning this piece and performing, my relationship with Connor, my dance partner, was very different. It was a little more youthful and more exciting and new. And then when he's taken away from me, I'm not sure what I have to do, but I know I need to make my way there. And I feel the journey that I'm brought on under the world has helped me build up the strength to finally make a deal at the end.
A Faustian deal.
But that was, I would say, maybe my first 3 months of performing it. Now I'm still within my first year, but like 8 months in. And there's a little bit of a switch. I feel like now coming in, I'm stepping in a little more confident and being a little playing around a little more sassy. and way more determined. I'm making the choice to go into the underworld to discover what is there, to find what I have lost. And unfortunately, things don't go out the way I thought they would.
I've watched that story.
What do you hope audiences take away from seeing this recreation performances that you've been doing for quite some time now, since 2024, I believe? And what do you think will surprise them as well?
So one thing about seeing dance to me is that it's an experience of seeing something happen in a human body. And that's important because the feelings that you have in your body, some of these stories have been selected through, you know, like Man Against Nature, who's the biggest guy, how are we going to win? Like, these are helpful stories that help humans cooperate together. But ever since we learned from Copernicus that the Earth goes around the sun and not the other way around, the thing that we know in our minds when we're looking at the world isn't necessarily what we feel in our bodies. It's why astrophysicists still say that the sun rises, because from our body's point of view, the sun rises and sets. The Earth is immutable and unchangeable. All of these things happen at once. And it's only in a sort of Cartesian analysis where we split things apart and we go, oh, dance is like a series of moves that happen through time on stage. And those moves have names, you know, before they even earn the piece. But when you're watching it, you don't experience it that way. It's all happening at once. The sight, the sound, the laughter of the children in the rows ahead of you, the whole experience of being in a theater with all these people all sort of happens, and you feel that in your body. And so the story that we are telling people is the story they feel in their bodies. That series of turns and images and emotions, that's all we're trying to give you. And so you don't need to come to dance and analyze it or leave with some kind. You don't have to have dance history to come and enjoy Palabras. You just need a human body. And then you come and you watch, and then these stories will kind of like, they sort of emerge out of the interaction of all these elements.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the really special things that we do is we build worlds for people. And I think the interesting thing is all good art is relatable. And as a viewer, you're just, unbeknownst to yourself, sometimes you're just looking for yourself within this art somewhere.
Yeah.
And so I think when people come to see these shows, we're telling stories that aren't necessarily always being told. And for people to have a moment where they're watching a piece and they get to see their story on stage, when it lets them know they're not alone. It lets them know that they're seen, and it reinvigorates a new feeling of like acceptance of self and community. And so people leaving the shows having all of those feelings and sparking like deep dynamic conversations about how they each saw themselves, but it might be different than the person who was sitting next to them or the person in the back of the house or whatever. It's one of the best experiences to be in the lobby and hear that buzz afterwards. That buzz is like one of those things we want the audience to leave with.
I'm not even sure how to add to both of those, but I will just say, before joining the company, I got to see them at the Joyce, and sitting as an audience member, seeing the program after watching Rushes, I'm sitting next to my mom and I'm like, why am I in tears? This piece was so beautiful. And I also laughed at points, but now I'm sitting here and I'm just a little upset. I needed time to process that. But being the audience member and feeling that, and then now being a dancer on stage and having audience members feel that off of my performance is so rewarding. So yes, that community aspect. And also, because the company is a smaller group of people, one of the things that Renee actually has said, it's small enough that you can see all the dancers. Or like, we're big enough that we're a group and we work well together, but we're small enough that you can still see us all as individuals telling those stories as well.
Matt, Darian, and Jessica, thank you all so much for speaking with me this morning. It was really cool getting to talk to you about all these wonderful things about Palabolas. So thank you.
You're welcome. It was our pleasure.
Yeah, you had some great questions. I was like, all right, got to think about these. Like, these are the kind of questions I want to be answering.
Once again, Palabolas will be at the Mehewi Theater in Great Barrington, Massachusetts on May 3rd with their recreation tour. Mehewi.org for more information. That is mehewi.org. You are listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.